And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. Hey, and if I have to give a theme to today's show, it's going to be a single word. It's appreciation. And I'm talking, of course, about the increase in value or in pricing or the general increase in market value to houses, to inflation, etc. Separately from that, I do want to say, as far as appreciation goes, I do appreciate you listening. I want to get that out there. And boy, I've had a lot of great questions from you lately. I appreciate those questions as well, because it gives me great ideas to build the show. So keep those coming, and you can email me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And I want to get that out there out the gate. I appreciate you tuning in. But as far as appreciation goes, today we're, of course, looking at this from the real estate investor perspective. And if you've caught any of our shows, we're typically focused on cash flow or building equity, equity capture, equity buildup through our mortgage pay down, which our residential rental residents pay for us. They pay that mortgage on our behalf. There are many ways, in fact, that we make money with our real estate. Appreciation, we don't talk about a whole lot. And really, at Lifestyles Unlimited, that is the icing on the cake for us. That's one of the five ways we make money on our houses. Nothing that I personally, and most investors I know, nothing that we budget in to our numbers, but we've seen a lot of that. And aside from, of course, I'm talking about home price appreciation, but more broadly, what's been hitting everybody lately? Well, just general price appreciation, inflation. Right? Inflation in our general lives. We just heard the latest number. The latest inflation number is out for April. It came in at 8.3% year on year, higher than expected. They were anticipating 8.1%. Now, I guess the good news, the silver lining, if you want to try to find one, is that the rate has slowed a little bit. It's a little lower than the 40-year high we hit just a month ago, which was 8.5%. But hey, 8.3, 8.5, what's the difference? We're paying a lot more at the grocery store. We're paying a lot more at the pump. And the really bad news is, if you look at the inflation-adjusted earnings for workers, if you're gainfully employed, you're that what we call W-2, you're salaried, you're employed, your inflation-adjusted earnings have declined by 2.6%. over the past year. So if you got money sitting in your bank, you're losing value in the face of that 8.3% inflation, right? That price appreciation. And now you're effectively earning less as well. So that's one type of appreciation out there. Of course, we've got market appreciation. Here I'm thinking about the stock market. And really, that's where you, most employees out there, You're sitting around, you're putting money into your 401k and waiting to see, hoping on market appreciation. Now, if you look back, I'll tell you, S&P 500 gained 26.9% for the year in 2021. That's pretty darn good. That's really good, 26.9%. But, and there's a but, it's now dropped 13.3% in the first 4 months of the year to start out this year. Worst 4 month start to a year in over 80 years. So if you just do some quick math, start with 100K at the start of 2021, hey, 26.9%, that means you jumped to a value in your S&P 500 holdings of 126.9K at the end of 2021. But then what happened? It dropped. It dropped to what? To 110,000 by the end of April. So if you take that over 16 months, really what you've seen is about a 10% appreciation in that, in your 401k holdings, if you're focused on the S&P 500. Home price appreciation, boy, that we've seen a lot lately. That's really going to be the focus of the show. And of course, what's that doing? That's driving those high county appraisals. When I look around Texas, talk with my fellow investors, everybody is up in arms because the property taxes that we're going to have at the end of the year are driven by those appraisals. Those are up. We're going to talk a little bit about property taxes towards the end of the show and protesting those. Just a quick PSA right now, though. Remember, it's here. The deadline to file your protest is Monday, May 16th. Monday, May 16th. So just get that filed. That doesn't mean you have to have all the evidence. Just get it started. And that's for most of you. I'll tell you what I mean there later in the show as well. And finally, of course, alongside that home price appreciation, market appreciation, general price appreciation, we have, as residential rental real estate investors, we have enjoyed rent appreciation or rent growth as well. We'll talk a little, I'm going to save this one towards the end as well, see how we're doing on time. I do want to talk a little bit about setting those rents at renewal time, because we are in the spring season now, and you're probably thinking about this if you do have rental property, if you are weighing how to handle that this year with your residents. Remember that turnover on your units, if you overprice that and push your residents out, turnover on your units, that is really your highest operational cost, so you want to weigh this a little bit. So we're going to talk about appreciation, and I'm really going to kick this off with an article. This came out actually just yesterday. This was in the New York Times, May 10th. This was penned by, when did this come out? Early May. David Streitfeld, and it's titled, "For Tens of Millions of Americans, the Good Times Are Right Now." Yeah, 8.3% inflation. What the heck? Good times are right now. And really, he's going to, if I boil it down, tip my hand a little bit, I see we're going to head into a break here in just a minute, but we'll work through this very quickly. Essentially, they're going to get to that notion of home price appreciation and how everybody's benefited. It says that this is an era of great political division. I don't think we can dispute that. Dramatic cultural upheaval, can't dispute that. But much more quietly, it's been a time of great financial reward for a large number of Americans. Great financial reward. And it goes on to talk about, it does talk about those stocks, those are up. But it goes on to talk about that giant piggy bank that you live in. You are living in a giant piggy bank if you own your house. Hey, we're going to head into a break. And I want to come back and tell you what they mean exactly, so stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues in moments.
Successful Lifestyles Unlimited member retires in 10 months.
The hardest part for me was to drop off my son, go to a job that I absolutely hated for 5 years, but know that that was a sacrifice that I needed to make, and then only be able to get to spend 2 hours with him after school before he had to go back to bed. So that's why once we started and we joined Lifestyles, we said, okay, we have a roadmap. We know what we're gonna do. And then a month later, we find out we're pregnant with baby number two. And we're like, okay, we gotta kick it up a notch. So that's how we were able to purchase 4 different properties and replace my income in 10 months, so that whenever I finished maternity leave, I didn't have to go back to work.
I think a couple weeks before baby came out is when we closed on our fourplex. And that was enough for her not to have to go back to work.
Are you ready for your roadmap to real estate retirement? Attend the online free workshop just like Carolina did. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Back to your map to financial freedom. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and today we're taking a look at appreciation. And in the first segment, we looked at a number of types of appreciation, price appreciation. We're seeing that in other words, inflation, tremendously right now. Newest number came down the pike for April at 8.3%, lower than March, which was 8.5%, but higher than expected. Expectations were around 8.1%. I don't care how you slice it, 8% and higher is high. And you're seeing that at the pump. I'm seeing it at the pump, at the grocery store, everywhere else. So you got to take some action to do something about that. And we're looking at an article which is juxtaposed to that very inflation. And it says, hey, for tens of millions of Americans, tens of millions, by the way, our population number is north of 300 million. So I don't know what percentage they have in mind here, but tens of millions of Americans, the good times are right now. Hey, get out there. $100 to fill up your truck, Andy. That's great. Good times are right now. Now, they're right, though. in some aspects. So they mention here, this is an article in the New York Times, David Streitfeld. This was earlier, a couple days ago or so in May. They say, hey, for the 158 million who are employed, prospects haven't been this bright since men landed on the moon. Hey, it's been a while. And they say that as many as half of those workers, interestingly, only half of those workers have retirement accounts in this article. But those retirement accounts, if you have them, they were fattened by a prolonged bull market in stocks, they say. And that's true. We just saw that the S&P 500 in 2021 was up 26.9%. But what's it already done in the first 4 months of this year? It's dropped 13.3%. If you take that as an aggregate, well, you've gained 10% over 16 months. So you're starting to lose your traction. Now, they go on to talk about your houses, but I want to go back. They say the queasy stock market might be signaling that the boom is ending. And they reference the economy. They reference renewed inflation. They reference those high gas prices. They reference rising interest rates, all of which could undermine those gains in the stock market. Give that some thought. Now, I will say I'm going to weigh in as a real estate investor because we're going to go on through the balance of this article and see what they have to say about the housing stock in particular. And I doubt we're going to see any kind of precipitous drop in values or prices on the housing side. You know, if you go back to 2008 when we had the big shock, home market shock, Great Recession, we lost massively in values on the coast. Texas lost values as well. They dropped as much as 20%, but compared to 60, 80 and more elsewhere, we were relatively flat. And projecting forward 20%, we're not going to see that. The fundamentals are here in Texas. In other markets where we are investing as members at Lifestyles Unlimited, Tennessee, Arizona, Florida, Georgia, basically the Sun Belt. And the fundamentals are there because people are moving there, businesses are moving there. So even if the rest of the country does enter a recession, do you expect that we're going to see 2008, 2009 declines in home values? I doubt it. I really doubt it. And it's interesting, they go on to say that more than 4.5 million workers voluntarily quit in March. That's a big sign of how the economy really is doing despite the inflation and the fears now of recession. By the way, in March, I number in that 4.5 million number. I'm happy to say that I did finally untether fully from corporate America. And they say that this widespread wealth throws light on why the number of workers who say they expect to be working past their early 60s, they're going back to the increases in the stock market in particular, as well as houses, home prices. The number of workers who say they expect to be working past their early 60s has fallen below 50% for the first time. So more people are more optimistic that they'll be able to retire sooner than later. That's good news. That's really good news. And that's something we've been trying to help you do at Lifestyles Unlimited for over 30 years now. You know, we have the map for you to get to retirement in 5 years or less through real estate investing. We invest in single family houses as well as multifamily apartment communities. But they recognize that here as well. So it's almost a tale of two cities. They talk about the tens of millions of Americans that are enjoying the good times. Now, what's going on for the rest of the people? And where do you number in that equation? More importantly here, kind of shifting a little bit more to the balance on the housing side, they say that there are 22 million U.S. millionaires. This is up precipitously, really, from 15 million in 2014. And you need to understand, and they don't go into where those millionaires are being made. Some of those will be through the stock market, through their 401k. There are 401k millionaires out there. Those are those people that are very devoted to feeding that beast. I love how Mike Harrison put it on one of his recent shows that he called it a parasite. It's just sucking your blood. It's just sucking you dry every month. And if you want to hear that show, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Really good show. 401k parasite. I love that analogy because it is 100% accurate. But you got to think back, and a very, 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 very large number of millionaires do not come from the stock market, do not come from that 401k. They're made through real estate investing. In fact, I found a good article on, this is called The College Investor, and its subtitle is Investing in Personal Finance for Millennials. So if you're a millennial listening, you might check this out, but they say 90% of the world's millionaires have come from real estate investing, okay? And Here we saw that the population of millionaires in the U.S. increased from 15 million to 22 million. A lot of those are going to be coming from real estate. It says, in fact, in the last 6 years, price, this is interesting, and I had to think about this for a little bit. They say no one thought home prices in 2000 were particularly cheap. I don't know. I didn't own a home back then. I didn't own any rental property back then. But in the last 6 years, they say prices have risen by the total value of all housing in 2000. So whatever the value of the whole population or the whole portfolio of houses in the U.S. was in 2000, it has doubled. The value has doubled in 20 years. That's why we say, that's why you should understand that so many millionaires do come from real estate, from real estate investing. Final little tidbit out of here. They go on to say that people own much more of their homes than they used to. This is good news as well. This is why I don't think we're going to see anything like we did in 2008 to 2010 with the drop in the housing market. We just have a lot of equity. It says the equity available to homeowners reached nearly $10 trillion. $10 trillion at the end of 2021. That hasn't slowed down. U.S. households are in the best shape in 30 years. Again, looking at that home equity. I'm going to transition now to the real estate investing side, because what you need to understand, what I'm hearing when I read that, my bulb goes off over my head. It's not a bright bulb. It's a sad little gray bulb. It says dead equity. A lot of us are sitting on dead equity in our houses right now because of the way that has grown. I did a show a few weeks back with one of our property tax protest companies, and we talked about some of the numbers around the state. Austin, Texas, home price appreciation, median home price growth in Austin in 2021 was 30.6. That's 30.6, 30.6%. The price increase in Austin beat the S&P 500. So if you're in Austin, if you're anywhere in Texas, and you haven't done a cash out refi, you haven't pulled some of that debt equity out, you know you're sitting on some pretty healthy numbers. Now, how do you get to that and what do you do with it? We're going to head into a quick break and I'll address that when we come back.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started in 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Listening to Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. Now, here's your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you have questions for me, send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. We're taking a look today at appreciation. We spoke very broadly at the start of the show in the first segment. We've seen a lot of price growth, right? That's pushing up our home values. That's, of course, we're seeing that in terms of inflation at the pump and the grocery store. It's pushing up rents, which if you are a residential rental owner, you need to take that into account when you go to do your lease renewals this spring, if you haven't already begun that process, or later in the year, whenever that may fall. But I'm really focused now on home appreciation. We're looking at an article in the prior segment. If you missed any of the earlier show, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio button. We do archive these there. And it was titled, "For Tens of Millions of Americans, The Good Times Are Right Now." And again, that's in face of the inflation we're talking about, 8.3% in April, and a decline in earnings, by the way. If you are employed, with respect to that inflation, you're actually losing now. You're earning less now, 2.6% less year on year. Why? Well, your employer's just not giving you the raise you need to keep up with that inflation. And you know that. You know that. So for tens of millions of Americans, the good times are right now. And in part, they're looking at the stock market. That was up very much so in 2021. Now, what's it starting to do? We're seeing that roller coaster out there. And if that's making you nervous, get off the ride. Just get off the ride. I did. Recently, I've got the rest of my funds out, so I'm watching the roller coaster from the safety of the ground, and I'm watching you up there with your arms up, your eyes gleaming in fear as you start to go down that next big hill. It's doing it. It's up and down, up and down. We've dropped 13.3% to the start of the year. So whatever gains you had last year, those are starting to erode. Now, we're not seeing that on the housing side, and they talk about that in depth here in this article as well. Again, it says U.S. households are in the best shape in 30 years. A lot of that due to the wealth that you've built through your equity in your house. It says households have more cash than debt for the first time in decades. Now, they point to inflation. You're spending that. You're spending that as a consumer in the wrong place. But what I'm hearing as I read this, that dim gray bulb going off, I say it's dim and gray, not because my brain's not working, but because I don't like this word. It's a dead equity. That's what you're sitting on right now. It's not performing. It's not doing anything for you in your house, maybe in your rental houses. So you have to take some action to get that out and redeploy that. Not on the consumer side, of course, but reinvest. You want to get that out, reinvest. How do you do that? We talked last week a little bit about what a HELOC is, a home equity line of credit. That's an option that one listener wrote me an email about that they're looking at. And at least in Texas, you know, we couldn't do HELOCs until, I don't know, a decade or two ago. But you can create a line of credit on your house that gives you a credit line up to 80% of the value of that property. Well, values are up massively. Even if you still have a mortgage on that property, you can put a HELOC on there, and it's just going to be net of whatever that remaining balance on your mortgage is. That might be an option. Pull those funds down as you need them to invest in a property, pay yourself back. Cash out refi. Yeah, I know rates are high. They're increasing the general interest rate. If you're looking at Fannie Mae, we just closed on a house, in fact, and our rate was under 6, but it was close to 6% higher than I budgeted going in. They climbed a little more steeply than we thought, but you know, I did my what if analysis months ago. I said, hey, if they hit 6%, here's where we are cash flow wise. Fine, that works for me. So we closed, locked in that rate. If they keep going up, we've got a good rate. If they go back down, what do? Well, we do a rate and term refi, reset that debt. If you've got that equity, though, you can do that cash out. And here, too, 80% if we're talking about your personal house, if you have rental property where you've got a ton of debt equity, you can go up to 75%. Do you have to leverage to the hilt? Do you have to go to the max? No, you don't. In fact, have a conversation with your lender. Sometimes we'll cash out refi at a lower loan to value because it does impact the interest rate that you get at certain stages. So the higher your debt load on that property, the higher that rate's going to go. So you may explore that with your lender. Now, what about Andy? I just told you I was part of that 4.5 million that left their jobs in March. I am no longer a gainfully employed guy. I don't have that W-2 income. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, when you go and get those cheap money loans, relatively cheap, they want to see those pay stubs. I can no longer furnish those. What do I do? If you're in my boat, what do you do? Well, there are a lot of options out there. Portfolio loans with a local bank. DSCR loans. That's a loan that is asset backed based on the property alone. They don't look at you as the investor. Or something I've been exploring more recently are interest only options. I've seen some products that are great with a 5-year term, interest only. It does go to an ARM after that, but what am I going to do in 5 years? I'm going to get out, sell, refi, don't know, something like that, but reset the debt in any event. So great options out there. If you're not sure where to go, what to do if you are, like me, not gainfully employed any longer. And when I say that, understand, I've been investing in real estate for a decade now. I am a full-time real estate investor now. That is my source of income. But Fannie Mae, you know, self-employed, she's not a big, those two things are like oil and water. They don't go well together. But go out, if you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, go out to our vendor hub and take a look at the sundry lenders that are available there and start talking to them. If you are gainfully employed, start talking to them as well. See what your options are. even with rates going up, you know, you have to weigh the opportunity cost of just simply leaving that debt equity in your house, whether it's your personal house or one, two, three or more rental properties. What could you be doing with that money? What kind of return could you see if you can unlock that? And you can unlock that. And again, that debt equity that we're seeing, that goes back to the theme of the show today, which is appreciation. We don't focus on that a lot at Lifestyles Unlimited because with our houses, we make money five ways. We typically talk about cash flow. You know, it's that cash flow that I built up that allowed me to be one of that 4.5 million in March that left the corporate America. So cash flow is very, very important. Aside from that, though, we have a lot of other ways. We have equity capture. If you're buying right, you're buying these houses at a discount because they need work. And you've got the team to go in and do that work. You're getting a good price. And on the back end, you may be creating $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in equity capture. That's just net wealth going to your bottom line. Now, that doesn't help you in the interim. That's creating that wealth. That's creating that debt equity in essence. But at some point, you tap into that either by way of a sale or a cash out refi, and then you redeploy. So we got cash flow. We got equity capture. And I mentioned earlier in the show, we put residents, renters into place, and they're paying that mortgage for us, whether it's that Fannie Mae cheap money 30-year fixed rate mortgage or that interest only product that I talked about. We put those residents in there and they're paying that mortgage for us. And over time we have equity buildup. Now, granted, with interest only, well, they're not really paying down the principal, are they? So a little bit different story there, but that's more of a cash flow play. And then the tax advantages. So we're talking about appreciation. That's the main focus, but we do have cash flow, equity capture, equity buildup, and the tax advantages in our houses. And we, you know, going back to the appreciation, we've just seen a tremendous amount in the last decade, and not just in our single family houses, you know, general market appreciation, but in apartments as well. And I want to dovetail on that thought just briefly, because when I talk about appreciation and I talk about houses and I talk about Austin and 30.6% price growth in the median sales price of homes, that appreciation is purely market driven. That's how houses are valued. It's based on how houses in that subdivision in that neighborhood have sold. That's how we get that appreciation. People are coming in from the coast and they're paying cash. They're paying $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 above list. That's why your tax valuations are going up, by the way. But that's market appreciation. We see that in houses and we see that in apartments. The cool thing with apartments is we have a second type of appreciation that we create. We call that forced appreciation. And typically, just like the houses we buy, the apartments we buy, there's something wrong with them. It may be physical depreciation, it's just not been properly maintained. Or it may be a mom and pop operator that don't operate well. Maybe when we talk about lease renewals, they're not pushing the rent quite like they could and should. And so they're they're operating below market. You come in, you change things, and you force appreciation. We're going to head into our last break. When we come back, I want to wrap up forced appreciation, talk about those lease renewals, and talk about protesting those taxes. The deadline is looming. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
What would you say to women out there, Kelly, if they're thinking about doing this, if they're sitting out there right now going, I'm trapped with a glass ceiling where I work. I know I can't go up any further. There's no room there. What would you say to them about becoming their own boss?
Well, you know, you can decide to stay where you're at and keep trying to crack that glass ceiling. But at the end of the day, in this environment, it is so easy, you know, to be able to get out of that mold. People know me and they come up to me and they're very gracious and they don't look at me and say, oh, you're a woman, I'm not gonna invest with you, I'm gonna go over here. There's no real gender there.
Are you ready to be part of a world where there are no glass ceilings, no gender bias, no limits? Start like award-winning real estate investor Kelly did with the online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Pre- creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, and the topic, the theme, I suppose, of today's show is appreciation. Market appreciation, price appreciation, home value appreciation, rent growth, rent appreciation, and of course, appreciation to you. I do thank you for listening today. I hope you're deriving some value from this and all the other shows. And again, if you want to catch any of our earlier shows, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, click on the radio tab, and this show will be archived there as well. And we talked in the prior segment about appreciation being just one of the ways that we make money with our real estate investments. That's one of the reasons I love this, is there are five ways with the houses, and we've seen tremendous appreciation. We looked at an article in the second segment titled, "For Tens of Millions of Americans, the Good Times Are Right Now." And that applies to a lot of you as homeowners, because you have seen wealth creation. By the way, the other side of the coin, we'll talk about this in the towards the end of the segment, is that with that home price appreciation, that increased home value, what's happened? Your property taxes are going up. You got to fight those. Deadline is looming. We'll talk about that. But appreciation is just one of the ways that we're making our money. And if you own any residential real estate, you've seen this. But on top of that, we have cash flow, we have equity capture, we have equity buildup, we have the tax advantages. And we were just talking about essentially a sixth way that we achieve, that we create wealth is through, and this applies only to apartments, it's through forced appreciation. Typically, a apartment community has been mismanaged or it's in physical distress. We go in and we throw some capex, we spend to improve that property, and we're able to increase our net operating income. That's the bottom line, essentially. There are 28 ways, in fact, that we do that by increasing revenues, by decreasing expenses. Maybe it's a no pets allowed property, and I say, you know what? We're going to let dogs in, and we're going to charge you a one-time non-refundable pet fee of $350 plus $25 a month per pet. Boom, I've just added to the revenue. And we're going to add low-flow toilets, low-flow shower heads. We're going to drive down the cost to operate the utilities if we're paying the water bill. Boom, I've decreased the expenses. And that drives more money to the net operating income. Our income goes up, and very small changes in that NOI, net operating income, can drive a very, very large increase in the value of that property. I'm not going to get into more details than that. If you want to learn more, I want you to go to our Financial Freedom Program website, learn more about the program, and get out to our two-day, because on day one, we're going to talk about investing in single-family houses, but in day two, we're going to get into apartments, and you'll learn how the math works behind that. It's a huge lever where you can really, really drive some value. To learn more, I want you to go to givemetotalfreedom.com. That's the website, all written together. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. You can read about it there. If you sign up, use the promo code SAVEBIG, all caps, SAVEBIG, and that'll actually give you a two-year membership at a very, very heavy discount, and you can keep going back to that Financial Freedom seminar, that two-day that is part of the Financial Freedom program, and you have access to our vendor hub. We talked a little bit about lenders earlier. If you do have a lot of debt equity in that property and you're thinking about tapping into that, talk to the lenders that we have out there on our vendor hub. So that forced appreciation is unique to apartments, but we have members at Lifestyles Unlimited that have been using that very capability over 30 years to create massive wealth. So if you're not in the number right now, again, the title of that article, "For Tens of Millions of Americans, the Good Times Are Right Now." If you're not in that number, you need to get into that number. And it starts by checking out Lifestyles Unlimited. We're going to talk now about rent appreciation, because we did see some massive growth across. I mean, I'm in Dallas-Fort Worth, if you're new to the show. And just in DFW, the rent appreciation is a little bit higher in on the Dallas side of the airport than it was on Fort Worth. But on average, it's at about 15%. So as you go through your lease renewal process, if you've been hovering a little bit below market, and typically we do, I mentioned earlier, turnover is our highest cost. So I don't want to necessarily drive too high unless I want to drive those residents out for some reason. Maybe I do. Then I'm going to stay a little bit below market when I make my offers. The thing is, if I was a little bit below market last year, I'm a lot below market right now. So you need to really think hard, especially in the light of those property taxes and those increases that we're seeing. How are you going to handle that this year? It may require a little bit of thicker skin on your part in presenting a larger increase than you maybe have ever done before. It's something you need to do. to keep up with what's going on in the market. 8.5% peak inflation last month, 8.3% this month. I have been going through this process with my residents, and I find they understand. When I explain to them what we're seeing in the market, that rent growth is up 15%. By the way, I'm not taking you up quite that high necessarily. We're staying below market. Here's what I see. What we'll do is, and this is what you should do, is run the market lease comps for your area, for your subdivision. You don't need to go back 360 days because the lease comps 360 days ago are vastly different than they were 6 days ago. The market has shifted so much. Stick to a month. If you don't have enough, maybe go back a little farther. If you don't have enough, maybe go back a little farther than that. How do you get to those lease comps? Well, talk to your favorite realtor. If you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited, you can subscribe to Quest. And Quest is a tool that allows you to tap into your local MLS, which is where agents list their properties. And you can pull both sold comps to figure out your market value on the house, as well as those lease comps. And the good thing is, when you look at those comparable leases in your area, you can also look at the pictures. And that's a big driver of the market value. Some of those houses that I'm looking at that are leasing, they're not updated at all. Mine are updated. So I want to find those that are a similar product and price accordingly, and maybe price just a little bit below market. So even if I take the rent up $100, $150, $200, yes, that's happened. The resident is going to look around. They're going to be in shock at first, but they're going to look around and say, wow, okay, we are still 100 below market, 50 below market, 20, whatever that number is for your area, whatever makes sense. So think about those things as you go through that lease renewal season right now. And then the other part of the equation, and this is what we're going to get to now, is the county appraisal district. Wow. I've talked to a lot of people over the last few weeks that are really still processing what they've seen. And we have seen massive increases. If you just scroll through your early afternoon, late afternoon news or in the evening, they're talking a lot about this right now because it is very hot here in Texas, because the county appraisal districts, they have pushed those tax valuations up because the market is up. These things move in lockstep, but you have options here and you can protest that valuation, and you should do this every year. I am the agent for my wife's grandmother. She owns a mobile home that's on somebody else's land, and that thing doubled in value. A mobile home, depreciating asset. Now, granted, she's over 65, she has all the exemptions. It's only $17 in taxes, but you know what? On the simple principle of it, I filed the protest. I'm going to be going down to the county because I have other business with them anyhow. I'm going to fight it. You should do it every year, even if your values stay flat. If you didn't get a letter in the mail this year, that means they didn't take up that value. Go out to the tax roll, just confirm that, and plan to protest. And again, the deadline to protest is Monday, May 16th, in most cases. Interestingly, for my entire portfolio of rental houses, I've gotten all my notifications. For my I still haven't set the value. So how do I protest? Well, I can't. If you haven't received that value yet, or if you didn't receive it by mid-April, you have a 30-day window from when they send out that notification. So whenever they get around to telling me what the value of my personal house is, I'll have 30 days from then. So in most cases, though, plan on just getting it done tomorrow, or excuse me, by Monday, May 16th. And I'm not talking about going through the full process. I'm not necessarily talking about having all of your evidence and all of your pictures and all of your analysis. Simply file. That's all it takes. In fact, I went out, I've got open right here on my computer for the Dallas Central Appraisal District, one of my properties. And for most of these, you can do it online. So I just go out here and I see a couple of boxes. Value is over market value. I've checked that one. Value is unequal to other properties. I've checked that one. Typically, you want to protest on both. Now, some of the county appraisal districts, they've merged those two options. And I'm going to hit next. And it's going to ask me if I want to upload documents right now. I'm not going to do that. Basically, what I'm doing is saying I want to protest. I want a date with the appraisal review board. And that's going to be a month, maybe two, maybe even longer in the future. You're buying yourself some time. Go ahead and file. And then get your evidence together. Now, I'll tell you, I start thinking about this earlier in the year. You can put a process together, for example, in Q1 and Q2 of any given year, whereby we just talked about lease renewals. Well, what do I want to do before I offer you a lease renewal? I want to make sure you're taking care of the property, so I'm going to come and do a walkthrough or have somebody do that on my behalf. get a lot of pictures and make sure some of those pictures reflect deficiencies in the property. Boom, now I've got evidence to argue on the basis of property condition when it comes to these tax protests. Of course, we're going to run our sold comps, and if you, again, if you're a member at Lifestyles Unlimited and have Quest, you can do that on your own. If you're not, find a good realtor that can do that for you, but you're going to look at market valuation. It's going to be a tough sell this year based on market valuation. And of course, look at what's called equity comps. We just saw one here where it says, for Dallas County, it says value is unequal to other properties. What they're talking about is other properties on the tax rolls. Interestingly, in Tarrant County, I have two houses, one street apart. They took one up 47%, $65K. They took the other one up $14,000, $10K. I can't fathom that. And in fact, the one they took up more, in my mind, based on my analysis, that's the lesser property of the two. So I'm probably going to go in and use my own property, among others, to argue that valuation. So lots of options, but the key thing now, get it filed. You're running out of time. Plan on May 16th as your drop-dead date to get that filed. You can do it online. You can drop it in the mail. You can drive on down to the appraisal district if you have to, but get the process started, and then you can get your evidence and worry about that next step. Buy yourself some time in essence. So, hey, I thank you for listening. I do appreciate you listening today. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.